Today's podcast is brought to you by SteinerSports.com. Use the promo code ALMIGHTY in all caps, and you'll receive 20% off all purchased memorabilia. Once again, use the promo code ALMIGHTY in all caps, and you'll receive 20% off all sports memorabilia from SteinerSports.com. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the latest edition of The Fast Break. I'm your host, Blake Rogers, and here we have a special guest. You know, like they say, it goes down in the DMs. Special guest, freelancer for the Chicago Tribune, the manager's holding it down. Like, this guy knows his stuff, all about the music. Mr. Jordan Malley. Is it Malley? Malley?
Nah, you had it right the first time, Malley.
Jordan Malley. So I got it right the first time. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. How's it going, man? How's it going?
Good. I'm doing good, man. I mean, me and you, funny thing is we were supposed to record this on Thursday, and then I remember I sent you a message at like, it was like 12:30, and I was like, we were supposed to do a podcast. And I'm like, we totally forgot, like, the whole day. I didn't even think about it once, and I was like, oh my God, wait, what's today? Thursday? All right. So no, I'm glad we're able to do this now. I think we got a lot to talk about here. I don't know where you want to start. I talked about Childish Gambino, if you want to start there.
Yeah, well, man, let me talk about you for a second, you know?
All right.
Let me give the audience a taste of what you're about, man. So give me your background. Like, you live in the Chicago area, obviously, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, I grew up in the southwest suburbs of Chicago, Naperville, Illinois. Went to college at Indiana University and just graduated in May. Now I am doing a bunch of different writing for, like you said, Chicago Tribune. I did high school football there for a while, and then just got added as a writer, actually, to the Cauldron, Sports Illustrated's the Cauldron. Plus, I write for Fansided for Indiana University, so a lot of different things right now in motion.
That's dope, man. And then I'm assuming you've seen that, was it Indiana, and who do they play?
They played Kansas. So yeah. Indiana was number 11, and Kansas was number 3 in the country, and they were playing in Honolulu for the Armed Forces Classic, which they used to play on a charter boat, and now they like complained because the floor was getting way too humid and players were slipping all the time, so they just moved it down to land, I guess.
Yeah, that was a pretty intense game. Didn't it go in overtime?
Yeah, both of those ranked games went into overtime. Arizona and Michigan State. Arizona won on a buzzer beater, and then Indiana went into overtime too.
So one thing I wanted to say, you're from Chicago. Are you a Bulls fan?
Unfortunately.
You don't like the Rondo, Butler, Wade mix? I'm a Heat fan.
Okay.
So it's kind of unique. So, like, we're tied. Like, we're tied together in some weird way. But I thought that was a pretty cool game.
I think the Bulls, for me, the first 3-4 games when they were shooting the lights out everywhere that they went, no matter who they were playing. And then now you've kind of seen them move it back to kind of, they're back to, what is it, digress to their median, I guess, or to where I think that they should have been. And that's not being able to shoot the three, turning the ball over way too much. What we're getting from Dwayne Wade, you're not going to get from him come February, March, April, when you really need him. You're not going to get the same production as he's giving you right now, which is incredible, and he's playing high minutes too.
I noticed that he's playing crazy high minutes. It's like, you know, Miami, I had him on a restriction minute plan like for the last couple of years now.
Yeah, they basically wanted to preserve their prospect. I mean, it's Wade County down there. They want to preserve their all-time guy. I'm so surprised and shocked that, like, they just, the way that things ended between them and him and Pat Riley, and then him taking that clown in meeting with the Bucks just for, like, hey, I'm going to take this meeting just because I want the money. It was crazy how that all ended.
There's nothing but, like, huge leverage play from both sides.
Seriously.
One thing I wanted to touch on, Derrick Rose, how do you feel about him?
I'm so glad he left Chicago. I think his time was up. I'm a Derrick Rose hater. After his second injury and just the way he went about things and the way he treated Chicago as just a business plan rather than actually wanting to win championships like most players would want to. The whole weird speech he did about how he had to make sure he was 100% so he could walk at his kid's graduation, I thought was totally crazy. Just like, I don't know, like, dude. Yeah. Do you realize you make $10 to $15 million a year, and that's just for playing basketball? How about your $300 million endorsement from Adidas? I mean, that's just one endorsement. I think you'll be all right walking at your kid's graduation in 18 years.
My thing with Derrick Rose, when the stats stopped matching the talk, that's when I was just like, all right. And plus the whole thing that happened in the offseason, we're just gonna sweep and brush that apart, because that's a whole madness. You can only make a 30 for 30 on that situation.
Seriously.
But I think it worked out for both sides. I mean, the injuries just... We know how that goes.
They were devastating, and I mean, I don't blame him for any of those injuries, and nobody should. It was just unfortunate luck. I mean, it was pretty much a Cinderella story where the Bulls got the number one pick. They were able to take their hometown kid. It was all setting up to be too perfect of a situation, and then the one injury happens, and then it all goes to waste. And I mean, not even just Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah battled a bunch of injuries. I mean, he was playing on one leg out there for most of the season last year.
Oh yeah.
And those two guys meant a lot to Chicago and lots of Bulls fans, but I think their time was just both up, and the Bulls weren't going to be willing to pay for it. I think just the funniest thing is they told Bulls fans they were going to go younger and more athletic, and then they go get Rondo and Wade, so that's interesting.
We're not here to talk sports. We're here to dabble in some music as well.
Yes, sir.
And like you said, you brought up earlier, Childish Gambino. Dude does everything from stand-up to writing for 30 Rock to acting. His show Atlanta, just huge hit. Everybody loves it. And then his new song that dropped.
I think it's You and Your Mama.
Yeah, You and Your Mama. It's a weird title. Like, I'm sorry. Hey, you heard that song, You and Your Mama? Oh, yeah, dude. It's great. Me and Your Mama. Weird song. Didn't know where it was going, but it's Gambino, so we should have known that.
I immediately thought when I heard this song, especially when there was nothing for the first 2 minutes, it was just all instrumental. And then he kind of went into like some type of pop punk, like, I don't know, some weird type of alternative rock, like heavy punk influence. I immediately thought of Kid Cudi when he did that whole album of like indie rock, like, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it.
Well, we know how that went for Kid Cudi, but we're... But no, I thought well, first of all, I was like, the instrumental, I'm like, yo, this might be like a smooth R&B track. Okay, I'm feeling it. And then out of nowhere, kind of James Brownish, like the way he was just like screaming. The more I listened to it, it definitely kind of grew on me. What was your favorite Gambino project he put out?
Man, that's tough. I really got into Camp, like obviously a lot of people did when he first came out, but then kind of dove away from him for a while, but then I came back and loved Royalty top to bottom. I think that out of anything he's done is by far the best. Lyric-wise, beat-wise, people that he had on there too. I mean, songs like Unnecessary with like guys like Absol and Schoolboy Q, who are just coming up at the time where he dropped that mixtape. And then now you look at where they are now, it's crazy. He's gotten a lot of guys that were super underground that are now established in rap now, which is crazy.
Me personally, we can't ignore the fact that because the internet was nominated for a Grammy.
True.
I mean, as much as that was a weak class for music, he still got nominated for a Grammy. I think my favorite was his mixtape, Stone Mountain. I thought the mixtape / EP, I thought that was amazing, from Jaden Smith on there, which I think Jaden Smith is cool in his own right. And his lyrics to the Southern Hospitality beat, just straight slaying it. And I really feel like that's a slept on mixtape, in my opinion.
I agree. I actually was just listening to that. I like Given. I like Go DJ, Ass Shots. Those three songs are bomb.
The Life on Pablo tour, how was it, man? I know people want to know.
It was incredible. Me and my buddy who went decided last second, night before, all right, we're going to buy the tickets and go. We were going back and forth just because the price, I mean, we both dropped too large to go, which actually turned out to be pretty good, considering you could see literally everything that was going on, from his stage moving around to the crowd. It was actually a really good spot to be in. The speakers were right behind us too. It was kind of interesting though. I don't know if anybody who went to his shows other than in Chicago, if he spoke before or during his set, because he didn't. He went 2.5 hours straight of nothing but songs, and he didn't say anything from the beginning to the end. Once it was over, it was cut. That was it. So I'm interested to see what happened, especially because it was his show that he played just coming back from what happened with Kim. he didn't even address anything like that. So I thought that was kind of interesting and weird, and like why he didn't say anything.
Kanye being Kanye, he probably just want to keep everything in house. Which is weird though, because like most artists, like you go to a concert, they like talk a little bit, like, yo, thanks for coming out, blah 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? So I did find that weird. I want to see Travis Scott live.
You know what's interesting is I think Travis Scott sounds a lot like young Kanye.
You really think so?
In his auto-tune sound, and like, I'm trying to think of the song that like immediately hit me. I was like, wow, this sounds exactly like Kanye, like Graduation Kanye. And to me, I don't know, his obviously he's got a little bit different flair, but like if you just listen to his voice and some of the auto-tune that he spins into some of his songs, I can totally see Kanye in it.
Definitely. How'd you feel about Birds in the Trap singing McKnight? There's definitely a lot of hype coming into that. That dude's a weird cat, man. But most artists like are weird. Like, you have to be weird to be a musician.
Yeah, I like it. Did you watch his appearance on Sports Nation? I think it was like, it had to be like 4 or 5 months ago. He jumped up on the table. He was just a crazy nut. I don't know. He's just, to me, he's hilarious.
He pulled the Tom Cruise homie. We jumping up on them couches. But one, like, I'm just another artist, Ray Shrimmer. Like, I got a chance to see them live. They were in Detroit, and man, this mannequin challenge really took them to the next level. Like, they were already good. Like, they had no type, no flex zone, so many hits, and then you got Hillary Clinton mannequin challenge the Black Beatles. Like, what?
I can't believe it either. And Black Beatles was a song I didn't hear of at first, and then I was down at IU for homecoming and somebody played it and I was like, what's this song? And I'm like, and they're like, oh, Black Beatles, you know, it, we just started playing it. And I was like, all right, cool. I was like, so I started playing it more and I'm like, damn, this is a banger. And 2 weeks later I saw a mannequin challenge and now everybody's doing it. Paul McCartney had this song in a Vine. It was crazy.
And then Michelle Obama and the Cavs, they did it. The designer couldn't sit still when he did it. Wow. It's like, I mean, good for them though. Their energy is just, it's just crazy. And we was able to get meet and greets with them. So they're like real chill. Wow. Just like, yeah, they're real cool. It was like 10 seconds, but yo, it was a cool 10 seconds. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's crazy. What are your thoughts on the mannequin challenge? It's just like a whole, like, what? It's like a new phenomenon.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. On the internet's weird in the first place, and Twitter's an especially different place, as I like to put it.
Yeah.
I like the mannequin challenge. At least it's not something that, you know, people are getting pissed at each other about for no reason. At least it's something good, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like something positive that comes out of it. Like I said, good for Ray Shrimmer. Like, did you listen to the album?
Yeah, I like that album a lot. Like you said, like, there's stuff even before. I had a chance to see them live with Lil Wayne back in the spring when they went on tour.
Yeah, they sure did.
I didn't go to that concert, actually, and I probably should have. I didn't think Lil Wayne was going to be any good, especially just, like, not coming out with much before that, and that he dropped that weird mixtape.
Dude,
that,
Sorry for the Wait, too? Was that it?
Yeah, I think so.
That was rough, man.
It was trash. That's why I didn't go see him, because I was like, he's going to play that most of that mixtape, then I don't want to be there.
And it sucks because there's literally like the superstar player that gets progressively bad, you know, the older he gets. Jay-Z is like fine wine, though. Dude can just come out whenever he wants and just hit just like that. Like, I got the keys. Hit just like that. With Wayne, is like, all right, Wayne, just cut the auto-tune, man. So, Kid Cudi, Drake, two birds, one stone. Did Drake go too far?
It's music, all right? It's like if somebody in the NBA were to taunt another player for a block or a last-second three, something like that, and you get taunted in your face, the next time you guys play them, I mean, that there's going to be that hidden anger there, and if something happens during the game, well, it happened during the basketball game. Same thing goes here. Cudi fired shots at him first, whether it was through his music and through his tweets. So now Drake spun it back through his music. It's literally rap. Guys do this all the time. I mean, to me, it's more for the entertainment rather than the beef.
And my thing is this. Like, I feel like hip-hop's just in a different place. Because literally you have Pac going after Biggie like, yeah, I messed up your wife. F you, F that. Get it, I know depression's a serious thing. But then if that's the worst that comes in music, it's like, come on. Cudi started it. And what's weird about it is that back when Day and Night, Kid Cudi's first hit, Drake reached out to him and was like, yo, I like your track, man. Let's do a remix together. And Cudi was like, no, I don't think so. And then it's funny how the roles switched. Now Drake's like obviously the biggest in the game right now. And Cudi, you know, he's still relevant, but nowhere to Drake. It was nice. It was nice, subtle diss.
I think Kanye, too, when he called out Kanye, like, their whole ghostwriter thing, to me, it's kind of a petty thing to call somebody out on, because whether you wrote the song or not, somebody still has to rap it, somebody still has to perform it, throw it over a beat, and make it sound good. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that writing is not important, because it's the most essential thing to music, but at a certain point, I don't know, to me it was kind of petty.
Cudi started off as a ghostwriter. Like, he'd worked with Jay and Kanye, so who are you to get mad about ghostwriting? And my thing is ghostwriting, it's been going on forever. There's so many artists that have ghostwriters, and the fact that it's now bringing back to life and it's a big deal about it, I get it. People get sensitive about it. You know what? Without ghostwriters, we probably didn't have half the hits that we're listening to right now. So, like you said, somebody still has to write. It's like a team. Like, you need a team. It's Everybody true. Can't do it by themselves.
I think Kanye did actually say something, maybe this was a few weeks ago. He did say something at his concert about it. I don't remember exactly what he said, but I know he addressed it. Pretty much said to F off was pretty much what I got from it.
He's like, I birthed you. Kid Cudi, I birthed you. But then, like, 2 weeks later, all right, Cudi, get better, man. I think, you know, that's Kanye, you know?
He still loves him like a brother, but at the same time, you can't just call him out and not expect him to fire shots back.
And the thing, what was crazy is that, okay, Kid Cudi's in rehab, and then he found out what Drake said in the song, and then he just tweets at him, yo, fuck you, dude. Like, say it to my face. It's like, what? Huh? Like, is this rehab work we're talking about right now? And I know, like, Lupe Fiasco got on Kid Cudi about that.
I don't know. It's just crazy. Like, to me, I feel like this is just a lot for the entertainment, for the fans to get, maybe to put Kid Cudi's name back into people's heads. But I know he's got a large following, but outside of his large following, I feel like he misses the limelight.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, without a doubt.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, what are two or three songs that you're playing right now that people might not have heard of yet?
I don't know, that's weird. I'll tell you what, though. I've been bumping a lot of Young Thug lately.
What do you think about his lyrics? Like, the way he... Just, like, everything that he is. Do you take him seriously as an artist? Or is it kind of just, like, a bumping party type of... Is he a bumpy party type of vibe?
When I heard Lifestyle, and my friend told me... Shout out to Alex Nguyen. My friend told me, this song's gonna be a hit. Lifestyle's gonna be a hit. I'm like, what? All right, whatever. And when I heard that song, I'm like, okay, this isn't sustainable. This is a one-hit wonder. And then you hear, okay, Mixtape from Young Thug. Another hit. He just brings out a hit. I think you have to take him serious as an artist. I love his sound. It's like he's in that designer Future type of position where, like, the lyrics... Okay, Future does have, like, deep lyrics if you listen to it. But, like, you go for the sound. And he just has that sound, man. It's like, thugga, thugga, like... Like, you can't say anything wrong about that. I don't know about you, but this 21 Savage hype needs to stop.
I agree completely.
So where can we find your material at? You are part of Almighty Baller Network.
Yeah, so our podcast is Straight Out of College on the Almighty Baller Network. Same with The Fast Break. So you can listen to us over there on Blog Talk or subscribe to us on iTunes. It's Straight Out of College, OUTTA. And yeah, we've got our sponsorships up now for Almighty Ballers, so that'll be pretty cool. And we're going to be producing a lot more podcasts. We're off the mic for about a month, but now that college basketball started up, we're going to have one tomorrow that's coming out, actually. And look for one or two a week. And then if you want to read my writing, like I said before in the beginning, Sports Illustrated's The Cauldron. You can find my work over there. A lot of interesting articles. I'm getting my first one published. It's actually about a comparison between rap artists and Major League Baseball, and how if these artists played, what position would they play and why? So I'll give you one that I've worked on, and I think that I don't know. You see if you can make this comparison. So Kendrick Lamar, I put him at catcher. And just what, like we were talking about, I feel like he right now commands the hip-hop industry. I think any way he shifts with his music, other people shift too. And that becomes the mainstream, the popular, the award-winning. And same with the catcher, the way he's able to like command his pitchers and the artists that Kendrick Lamar works with, he was able to command and make them better as people, better as artists, same way as catchers do with pitchers. They make them better pitchers. They make him a better catcher. So ultimately, he's the leader on the team. And I feel like in the hip-hop industry, Kendrick Lamar's the leader. So I can see that comparison a lot. And the awards, too, like I said, are... I mean, the list is goes on and on right now. The only one with a longer list in the last 5 years would be Kanye. So
that's dope. I can't. You said this is an article?
Yeah, it's going to be an article. It just submitted to be published. So hopefully looking for it this week.
Man, that sounds interesting. I never even would have thought of something like that, like comparing that together. Because usually you get like, okay, what rappers or basketball players from the same area, like they all like, you know, mesh together. But that's pretty dope. All right, I'm gonna ask you this. You know, I'm a huge Drake fan. I endorse Drake anytime I can. Is Drake on the list?
Drake is on the list. He's actually, I have him sitting at first base. I said part of the reason why Drake, I would put him at first base is his overall brand stakes him as one of the most popular in the game. His record label, OVO, is one that could be compared to the Chicago Cubs. More specifically, it brings to mind the first baseman Anthony Rizzo, tremendous talent and a lovable personality built from the ground up. Rizzo's been in Chicago for the rebuild, the unbearable times, and turned it into prosperity. OVO has quickly become one of the most popular and successful record labels in the hip-hop industry. Drake is the founder, stuck with his project to see it through to the better days. He always had talent to make another label millions, but invested in his own work to create something truly special. Up-and-coming artists like Party Next Door, they compare sort of like Starlin Castro and Addison Russell. The reason why I picked those players is because McConan, he left OVO and Starlin Castro in the same light. He was there to build the brand, but he got traded to the Yankees. Addison Russell and Party Next Door. Party Next Door, I feel like he's going to be the guy to take OVO over the top. Like, he's a guy I think a lot of people sleep on, and same with Addison Russell, how good he and how young he is. So that's kind of, there's kind of a comparison why I think Drake, and that's only a portion of it, of why I think Drake so emulates everything a first baseman is, and specifically like Anthony Rizzo.
I cannot wait. To read this article. Like, you gotta DM me that, like, as soon as I out, like, I have to read it immediately. As always, thank you for listening to The Fast Break. Gotta get off my man, Jordan Malley. This is the first time we're meeting. Like I said, it goes down to Twitter DMs, man. So shoot your shot, guys. Shoot your shot. I don't care what you gotta do, shoot your shot. Man, look forward to doing this again. It was awesome. And as always, you can find his podcast and my podcast, Jordan's podcast, being straight out of college, focused on college basketball, just things of that nature. And then, you know, me, you know, I'm just trying to put in the work, guys. So, but find us on almightyballer.com, iTunes as well, and blogtalkradio.com, Almighty Baller Network. Jordan, thank you again, man. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me on, dude. This is the most fun podcast I've done in a really long time. Anytime you want to talk music, new albums, any type of debate, let me know. I'll come on the podcast. Thank you again. Let me get out a little bit of steam that I need to. I had all this music built up into me, and you let me put it out in 30 minutes. So thank you.
No problem, man. It's the least I can do. As always, thank you for listening to The Fast Break. Stay lit.